Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
I want you to know that even though at times I come off pretty rough, I had a friend tell me one day, she came over to the house with her husband and her kids and we were talking. She says, you know, Steve, she said, when you're preaching, she said, there's fire in your eyes and in your voice. But she said, I just know that you're just a big teddy bear. So I want you to know that there can be fire, but it's coming from a heart of love. Now I want you to understand a couple things that I understand. I'm going to speak to you today about the ways of God. Here's one of the ways of God. Psalms 2, I think it's verse 5, could be 3, doesn't matter. It says, kiss the Son, unless he be angry with you. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. What that means is, embrace the discipline of the Lord. Because that's the only thing that's going to bring you into holiness, so that you see him. Because if you do not, this isn't teddy bear again, you won't. If you read the Bible, because I read the Bible and I see it, and the glass is always full or half full, it's not half empty. It's always half full with me. Okay? So I'm looking always for the best in the midst of trouble. I prophesied to a man one time, which I rarely do, in this way. He said, I want you to bring my judgment on that man. And I said, Lord, I said, I don't do that stuff. You know, and he said, no. He said, this is a word that needs to be spoken. And I fought with him during the worship service. And there was fire burning in my bones. And I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And I spoke to him. He was the worship leader, by the way. His wife was playing the piano. She was anointed. Oh. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, and I told him, I said, God's going to bring you to a place of darkness and it's going to be awful. And you're going to cry out to God and you're not going to get answers. And you'll be wondering, where is God? And it's going to be bad. And I said, in the midst of it, you're going to turn to your wife. And I said, she's going to be the one who brings you out. The gift in her that God placed in her is going to bring you out of the darkness that you will live in for a while. Little did I know that he was one of these guys who took the word of God, it's called the letter of the law instead of the spirit of life, and said, you will submit to me, and anything I say, you will do. She had no life. He wanted to rule her life. Wow, that's foolish. And God was going to bring him through this time toward his deliverance, when it's going to come through his wife, so that he could learn to honor her and respect her. But who God gave her to be to him. And he, and I spoke at the end of the word that I gave him, that God was going to bring him out and that he would bring him out to gold, that there would be new life that would come forth from it. Because if you read in James 1, you know, patience, let patience have a perfect work. you know, rejoice in the trials. Let patience have a perfect work so that it'll bring forth gold. It'll bring forth godliness. And you know, after the service, we had a potluck dinner and everybody was eating. And he came up to me and said, I appreciate that word. I'm going to walk in gold. I know I'm going to walk. And all he heard was gold. And that man walked through hell for 3 years. Now, how many of you want me to prophesy to you today? You say, oh, that's no. How many of you know that when God speaks a word to you, Satan is going to do one thing? What's he going to do, Armand?
Distort it.
Ah, well, he'll try to do that. Mm-hmm. This is true. What's your name?
Barbara.
Barbara, what's he going to do? What's Satan going to do?
It's not true.
He'll tell you it's not true?
Sure.
Yeah? Melissa, what's he going to do?
He's going to attack.
He's going to attack you?
Yeah.
Oh, all three of you are correct.
Yes, sir.
You are now the teacher's pet. You're sitting in the front row. I want reality to hit you today. God is real. His kingdom is real. And he's looking for a bunch of warriors to come out and to stand with him. And he's going to test you and try you to see if you're worthy to obtain the powers of the age to come and to walk in his kingdom. Oh, God, brother, Jesus loves me. I know he does. Loves me too. He loves me so much, he disciplines me. Because the Bible says clearly in Hebrews 12 that if you're not disciplined, he doesn't know you. You don't belong to him. So, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. If you are born again, so be on me, so on me, so fast, Steve. If you are born again, that means God called you to be a part of his family. And it costs to be a part of his family. Salvation is free. Everything else costs you. What's your name?
Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. Well, I got a word for you, Dallas. I'm just telling you, the word is clear. If you read the word, God brings judgment into our lives for one purpose, to make us more like his Son.
Praise God. Thank you, God.
Now, if you want to be like his Son, then you'll do what I do and say, God, I trust you.
Yes.
In fact, he's brought me to the place to where I'm speaking as Job spoke and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now that's what I call a come up hither verse.
Mm. Yes, amen. Yes.
I'm not there yet. That's a come up hither verse. What do you mean? Here's another one for you. Here's a come up hither verse. Jesus said, Satan comes and finds nothing in me. Well, that's when we get to heaven. No. He desires it to be in the earth, in a people. In fact, he will have a people who will walk, and Satan will come, and he will find nothing in them. That's what he's looking for this day. Oh, and by the way, you can't do it. Dallas, I want you to know you can't do it. You're going to fail. You're welcome. You're going to fail so much that you're going to say, God, I give up. And look, we need to understand, you're pursuing. That's a good thing. But you're going to give up. And then he's going to take over. And when you hand it to him, all of a sudden, you'll say, wow, this is so easy. It's going to be so cool. I'm just telling you, this is the life of God. This is one of the ways of God. You got to know the ways of God. That he actually brings... You're going to get mad at me again. So just be nice. One of the ways of God is he brings judgment upon his people in order to transform them. Because they're so caught up in the flesh and the soul and the distractions that they can't get where they need to be. And he loves us so much that he wants to spend eternity with us and hang with us and live in us. When you read John 14, listen, you can have a mansion in heaven if you want. I'm not saying it's not there, but it's speaking of something much greater than a mansion in heaven. Psalms 12, verse 6. The word of the Lord is tried 7 times as silver. You can have your mansion in heaven. That's 1 of the 7. There's a higher one. If you read John 14, you'll catch a hold of it. Because he said, if you abide, if you keep my commandments and you abide in my love, my Father and I will make our abode. Same word as in John 14, 1. Same word, abode. We're going to make our mansion in you. Now, you want a box somewhere in heaven, or do you want him dwelling in you? You see what I'm talking about? I didn't know why I came here today. I do now know why I came here today. It's so frustrating sometimes. God does this to me a lot. And I just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I work on this message. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to wrestle through some stuff, saying, God, I want to teach this message on man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I'm looking at certain things. I'm saying, God, I need to understand this and know to speak it. And nothing's coming. And I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to worship you because you got something else. And so he waits until we begin to pray. And then he begins to speak to me.
Yeah.
He's on me like that. And it's like, you know what? You know, you think you got it all right. You're going to have it all prepared. And I'm just going to go ahead and let you wait to the very end. And then I'm going to show up. And what he showed me so much greater than man shall not live by bread alone. It's for this house. It's really specific. He's so good.
Yes. Thank you,
Papa. I want you to learn something else today. Do you ask God a lot of questions, Dallas?
See.
Do you ask God a lot of questions? Is there curiosity in you? You want to know and understand things?
I would say so.
Yeah?
Maybe.
I do too. I ask God a lot of questions. And I've learned in the middle of asking God questions to learn what he's interested in and what's important to him. And ask him the questions in the right way. From the right perspective, maybe. From the right position. What's important to God? What did Jesus say? This is a new commandment I give to you. That you
love one another.
Love one another. So here I am. Just last week, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm reading Song of Solomon. I'm seeing the Shulamite. And she's asking, have you seen the one whom my soul loves? And the daughters of Jerusalem answer, I think it's in 4 or 5 at the beginning. It says, they say, you know, what's he like? What's he look like? So we can help you find him. And I said, told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, sometimes I feel like the Shulamite where you come and I don't open the door. Or I feel like the daughters of Jerusalem where I don't even know you yet, God. And yet I know you in a greater way than I ever have. And I said, Lord, I said, I love you more than I ever have. And there's an intimacy there that I have that I'm so grateful for. But I said, Lord, what's the key to loving you more and receiving your love too? See, I understand something. Here's another way of God. The more you love, the less you'll sin. The more you love, the less you'll sin. Guarantee it. Okay? And I said, how can I love you more and receive of your love? Because I know if I receive of his love, I'm going to love him more. Because we love him because he
loved us.
First loved us.
Yep.
So I know the more that I receive from him, the more I can love him. And I said, God, how can this be increased? How can this dynamic be increased, Lord? Immediately. I didn't have to wait for an answer. I could tell you about one time I asked God why, and it took 24 years to get an answer. 24 years to get an answer. I just had something happen 2 weeks ago. I sat down with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, I'm feeling the same way that I did 32 years ago. There's something in me that needs to change. Would you please tell me what it is? I failed that test miserably, God. And he sat down and he said, this is the way you think and you're thinking wrong. You need to think this way and you need to think like me. He gave me the answer to the test. He gave me the answer to the test that I had failed. And I knew I was in the middle of the test again. And I wanted to know how I could pass the test. Because I didn't want to go around that mountain one more time. Because the last time I failed that test, I was 5 years being harassed by the devil. It was hell, man. And I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to fail that test. For years I cried out to God. And I said, God, I know I missed your best. Would you give me your second best? And one day, I was driving from one job to another in my truck, and the Holy Spirit showed up in my truck. And the fragrance of the Lord was all around me, and I knew he was there. I now know if these here women, I smell them or not, but it sure is good to smell them. And the fragrance of the Lord is in the truck, and I had this question that I wanted to ask him. Just one question. And when he was there, I said, Lord, I said, I know I missed your best. Could I have your second best? And he spoke to me clear as a bell. And he said, you've not missed my best. The best is yet to come. And then all of a sudden, it was peace be still.
Yes.
And then just 2 weeks ago, I there was just turmoil in the midst of my heart. And he sat me down because I asked the right question. And he saw my heart because I've been learning how to kiss the sun. I learned how to kiss the sun. So he gives me the answer to the test. Now I know that in the answer to the test, I passed that test. And then all of a sudden it went. None of the problems that are there in the midst of my relationships have changed. I changed. I gave it to him. I died to myself and said, Lord, I'll go ahead and die. Yeah. Yeah. When that happened, and after I did that, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, when you die and you let my will be established in your life and you accept my will, whether or not you think it's right or wrong, he said, you step out of the way and then I can live my life through you. I said, that's cool. That is so cool. What better can you ask for than God living his life through you? Because that's the destiny that's been put in us. That's the destiny that Jesus, he spoke, and he said, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I come, sacrifice and offering you don't desire, but I come to be a living sacrifice. And I come to do your will, O God. In Psalms 40, I think, verse 6, it said, I delight to do your will. It's repeated in Hebrews 10, verses 5 and 6. I come to do your will, O God. What did Jesus? Jesus never did anything but the will of his Father. And because he did that, I want you to know, I understand, I can't teach it today, but God's given me an understanding of removing the tares, those things that the enemy sown in our lives that have hindered us from walking with God and allowing him to have free reign and to live through us. I'll have to come back for that. It's really good. Okay? So here I am, asking the Lord. I said, Lord, how can I love you more? I want to receive of your love and love you more. God, how is that possible? He said, you're beginning to learn to love yourself. He said, now you need to press in loving your brothers, your sisters, and your neighbors. And the more that you love them, the more you love me. And the more I release my love to you. I said, cool. I can find you scriptures that say something very similar to that, but he just speaks it directly to me. Talk about rhema. There it is. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. You're going to walk in that. Okay? I know you will. Okay, so here we are. He speaks to me. And I said, oh, that's cool. Thank you, Lord. And then the next day I get up. I think it was the next day. And I'm just worshiping Jesus. I sit in my chair and I just worship Jesus. And I just love God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm just loving him. And I'm asking him about the day and asking him for strength and everything else. And here I am. And he speaks to me. Clear as a bell. He said, there's a higher key to love than what I shared with you. I said, really, what is it? He said, when you learn how to love your enemies and those that persecute you, you've entered into the highest realm. And you'll know my love greater than any dimension you've ever known. You get that? Mm-hmm. Is it going to cost me? Yeah. Will it be worth it? You see what I mean? So I just want you to know, this is the life of God. This is how he desires you to live. To kiss the Son. He wants you to kiss the Son. My son has been coming. His name is Nathan. And he's been coming with me. And on Friday nights we've been praying. We go to Goshen and we pray. And we've been doing that for months now. And he has struggled with different things at work. And he's having to be the inspector and making sure that everybody gets the job done right, and they all want to do it their way, and they don't care what in the world the inspector says.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been doing this for this long. Who in the world are you? You're young. And why in the world should I listen to you? I've been doing this for 40 years. And so he struggles with all that, and he begins to pray. And then all of a sudden things begin to turn. And he begins just to cry out to God for answers. And then something happens. Like one job I know he had, he was driving home and he saw the guy that he worked with. That was a guy that was just a total pain.
Yeah, we know those.
And he pulls over and says, can I help you? He said, Dad, he said, even though he had somebody coming and he didn't need my help, because I stopped, all of a sudden the relationship changed for him. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that God didn't arrange that. Now, if he'd have kept going, he'd have missed the answer God had for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so now he's just seeing, he's beginning to take time at work. He's been skipping lunch, going out in the yard just praying. And the Holy Ghost is just moving and doing stuff. And he's just so excited because he sees God changing situations in his life that he can't stand. And he's struggling with it because he's not like me. Okay? God has to calm me down. My son is like his mother. Gentle. He's 6'3". Big. Strong. Run you over if he wants to. But he's just gentle as can be. And he's just got his mother's heart. Me? You get in my face, I'll get right back in your face. Okay? So here God has to turn me, pay attention, God has to turn me and cause me to walk in gentleness. Psalms 18, I think it's verse 35 or so. It says, your gentleness has made me great. And the Lord said, I want you to walk in that. Lord, couldn't you give me the other one?
Right.
The one that says, you know, I want you to conquer and jump over the wall and run through a troop. Couldn't you give me that one, God? No, I want you to have this one. So what do I have to overcome? I have to overcome walking in gentleness, right? And he's got to overcome where he's got to step up and say, you know what? I disagree, and here's why. That's a word to this house right here. You're going to have to learn how to stand up. Just thought I'd tell you. You're welcome. You're going to have to learn how to stand up. There's time to stand up, and you have to learn how to walk by the Spirit and let him direct you on how to stand.
Yep.
But you're going to have to stand. Okay? Just telling you. If you read scriptures, it says, you know, the Bible says, you know, in the Bereans, they made sure that what was spoken was the Word of God. And then in Revelation, Jesus said, you tested those who said they were apostles, and they were not.
Yep.
Somebody stood up. God loves it when you stand up as long as you're doing it with his attitude and his heart.
Yes.
But you've got to. So if you need to learn how to stand up, I need to learn how to stand down and learn how to do it right. You may need to learn how to stand up. Say, excuse me. And then after you begin to step that way, the Holy Ghost comes on you and boldness comes on you. And then you can begin to, not in a harsh way, but you can begin to stand up for what's right. Okay? I didn't know I was going this way, but that's all right. Looky here. I'm praying Friday night. And we pray different verses. Because the more I find I pray verses, the more they get inside of me. And it's a key to putting the word, Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Doesn't say it'll set you free, it will make you free. Big difference between the two words.
Yep.
You can be set free as an elephant who's been trained that you can, when they train you, they put you on a steel, you know, chain and the concrete, and you can't move as a baby. Until when you're really big and you can move anything, they could tear this house down if they wanted to. They put them on a little stake with a little rope. Don't go nowhere. They tug and they feel it. Oh, can't go nowhere. Oh, I can't go nowhere. Oh, I'm talking about tears. We'll deal with that at another time. All I'm saying is, John, there's certain things in you that God's actually going to break. He's going to make you free. Okay? I know that to be true. He's going to break some things that you've longed to walk in a certain way. And he's just going to free you. And it's just going to be him. Jeremiah 31, verse 18. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Micah 7, 19. It says that the Lord would pursue your iniquities. Those things that stop you from getting where you want to go in God, God's going to wipe them out. Okay? So here I am, I'm praying. And I just read what I wrote. I said, I began to pray for New Life Assembly, and a weight of the Lord hit me. Really, it was a fear. That this was a mighty people, chosen by God for great things. and I should honor them with great respect. I mean, it hit me. It hit me. I said, whoa. And there was a something that said, doesn't matter the size. How many did Jesus have to change the world? Had 12. Doesn't matter the size. Matters the unity and agreement, being in one accord. There's going to be something broken off today.
Thank you, God.
Over this house. Okay? The Lord told me. I want you to declare this. I said, God, are you sure? I mean, that's a pretty big request there. He said, yes.
I'll take that.
I said, okay. I'm going to break something off. It's going to be God breaking it, not me. But I'm just going to obey Him. And when I obey Him, He's going to do it.
Thank you.
I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I went to a church one time, and I'm preaching. And I prophesied to everybody in the place. And Lord speaks to me about the pastor's sister's, pastor's wife's sister. She was there. And she went to a different church, but she came. Because this preacher was going to be in town. And he told me, he said, I want you to break off the years of bondage that she's had because her father raped her more than once. I said, I ain't doing that. Anyway, I went through the whole process of fire burning in my bones. I said, okay, I'll do it. But I said, would you help me to do it to where nobody else knows? But her. So I went up to her and I spoke to her and I said, you know, I said, you've had problems with your dad in the past, and I said, the relationship hasn't been that good, and I said, God wants you to erase all that. He wants to bring you into a new place in Him, and I'm going to break that off. And I clapped my hands and I broke it off. Nobody knew what went on. God showed me what went on. Mm-hmm. I get it. Her husband wasn't there. He writes me a letter. I still have the letter. He writes me a letter. I get it 3 months later. He says, I want you to know what happened to my wife that night changed her life. And mine, and all our children.
That's good, Steve.
My wife is not the same. She hasn't been the same since.
Thank you.
There's an intimacy there that was never there before. She was always afraid. And he said, the attitude and the atmosphere in our house has completely changed. All it took was one word. All it took was one word from God. That's all it took. Bam. Different.
Yep.
Now, I want you to understand something. This is wild. This is absolutely wild. This is a new day. It's not the same day anymore. What's it say in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8? I think that's what it is. You know what it says? Peter says, I want you to remember, do not forget this one thing. Do not forget this one thing, Matt. Now, what is he going to say? That you've been washed in the blood? That, you know, by His mercy you're saved? He could have said all kinds of wonderful things, right? You know what he said? Do not forget this one thing. That with the Lord, 1,000 years is one day. And one day is 1,000 years. Don't forget that, Matt. What's it say in Hosea 6? 1 through 3. It says, come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. We're in the morning. It's still dark, by the way. This is the new day. It's still dark. It's the womb of the morning. You haven't noticed much difference. I'm declaring to you, you will. Okay? He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. He's going to have both come. What's rain do?
Cleanses.
Good. It does. What else does rain do? Fertilizes. Because of the lightning. When the lightning comes, nitrogen is released. Causes everything to turn green. Rain washes, it cleanses, it feeds, it matures. It brings the latter rain was to mature the wheat. Okay? Rain's coming. Okay? The rain's coming. Former and the latter rain's going to come. It's going to do two things. It's going to cleanse, because we all need it, but it's also going to produce growth. And that growth, when it comes, God's going to remove the tares because the growth's going to come. And both the Bible says that in the last day, you're in it. How many days ago did Jesus die? Anybody know?
Maybe the year mark of the day would be.
No, how many days ago did Jesus die?
3.
2 days. He died 2 days ago. You're living in 2020. He died 2 days ago. I know this is new. He died 2 days ago. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up. That's what he's talking about there. All right, I'll leave it alone. The rain's going to cause both the, when you have a garden and you plant the seed, the good seed comes up. What happens to all the weeds?
They come up too.
And the Bible says in the last day that darkness is going to be matured. So will the righteous. Rain's coming. The wicked's going to be taken out of the way, the Bible says. Oh, by the way, the wicked in you is going to be taken out of the way.
Praise God. Thank you,
Lord. Kiss the Son.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay? We're going to deal with some wickedness today. That Satan sowed some tares. We're going to get rid of them today. Okay? You want to know the tares that he's going to get rid of? He's going to get rid of poverty. He's going to get rid of shame from this house. He's going to wipe it out. And he's going to begin to remove the tares in your lives so that you begin to live like for him.
Thank you.
And he's going to live through you.
Yes.
Like he never has before. Now that's what he's going to do. You say it's going to happen in tomorrow? It'll begin. What's Hebrews? What's it say? Is it in 30 or 28? Mike, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You know that scripture?
It's in Isaiah, but is it quoted in here?
It's in Isaiah. Is it 28? I think it's 28. Sometimes I miss things, but it's verse 10. For precept, we'll start with 9. Whom he whom will he teach knowledge, and to whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk, those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little and there little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, sounds like tongues right there, man, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest which with which I you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Does God want you to enter into rest? Yes. If you read Hebrews 3 and 4, there's still a rest for the people of God. Okay? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it's easy. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. That's a whole other message. Let's not go there. Okay? But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. They're going to walk and fall backwards and be broken and snared and caught. Now you understand why God removed the branches from the Jews and had an age of the church, the Gentiles. Hello. If you read Romans 9 and 10, it says, Paul said, you should fear if the branches were removed so you could enter in, that if you don't do what, and you don't enter into rest, he's going to put the Jews back in. And he can cut you off. Oh, that God wouldn't do that. Take it up with him. Okay? Take it up with him. I fear God. It's a healthy fear, man. I don't want to miss it. I really don't. And I know the more that the anointing of God comes on me, the more I can step and think that it's got something to do with me. That's stupid. So I live in fear of that. And it's a good fear. Okay? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Why in the world do you act like it came from you? Don't you know everything you've got, you received? Mm-hmm. Everything you got received. First Corinthians 10, verse 12. If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. I live by those verses. I just know. I know that you can get caught up in the gift, because I'm going to release gifts today. Okay? You can get caught up in the gift and think you're okay because God's using the gift. And frankly, the gift is for somebody else. And he just uses you as a vessel. And the more faithful you are to that, the more he'll increase the gifts and increase the gifts on you and increase the gift he gave you. So you're going to start, okay, in a gift of the word of knowledge. God's desire is for you to walk in the seven spirits of God. Okay? They work in twos. Okay? God's going to release, he's going to release the gift that comes from what? 1 Corinthians 12, I think. Speaking of the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom or word of knowledge, right? But I'm just telling you that God's going to release those to you. And he's going to, you need to understand that when he releases that's faith he released to you. You need to understand this. When he releases that word, that rhema, and says, someone here has got problems, been having problems with their kidney, they got kidney stones. That means God knows it and he's going to deal with it. Which means faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by the rhema of God, the word of God. So when he speaks, that's the rhema. Just telling you. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. Right? The spirit of counsel, the spirit of might. The spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. It's pretty powerful, I know. Kind of scary, I know. But his gentleness is going to make you great. Okay? And you're going to learn how to just walk in that. And it's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, I'm going to bring you into rest. And what's going to happen is the gifts are going to be, they're going to flow through you, and you're going to start with just one, and you're going to begin to learn how to operate in that faith and that hearing. And then he's going to begin to step, and you're going to begin to hunger after that. Because if you read Isaiah 11, 2, okay, it says, speaking of the branch shall come. Jesus is not the branch. Okay? Uh-oh. Jesus is the vine. He's the root. Now, it first was talking about Jesus. Okay? It says, the Bible says he's going to bring many sons unto glory. By the way, ladies, you're called to be a son. Gentlemen, you're called to be a bride. So let's not get onto this. The Bible is clear. Okay? It says, in the spirit, there's neither male nor female. There's no Greek, right? No Jew. Doesn't matter your color, doesn't matter any of that. If you're in Christ, there isn't. Therefore, I've got to relate to being a bride, and you've got to relate to being a son. Because there's authority with that. Okay? I'm just telling you. You guys are getting a lot today. Okay? So here we are. You need to understand, as you move in that gift, God, it's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And actually, what God's going to do because of this new day, he's going to do it a lot quicker than he did with me. Because he's going to remove things. I had to walk through a breaking in order for him to release. And you'll walk through that breaking. But see, you remember, did you ever go through labor?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
You know, I had a friend of mine who, a man I know, I can't say that he's a friend. I know him. And he spoke and he said he went to heaven one day and he said there were more women around the throne of God than men. And he understood the reason why. Because women, they birth those children, and they're willing to lay down their lives for their children. And God loves it when you lay down your life. And because you walk that way and you learn how to love like that, you're closer to God in heaven. So you all have an advantage over us. See, anyway, we gotta work on it, man. I'm just telling Jesus got it. And that's why he had to say, you got to learn to love your enemies. You know, Steve, with you got to learn to love your enemies. Okay? So all I'm saying is you need to understand a few things. One day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. Don't forget it. Okay? That'll have to be taught at another time. Okay? The other thing is it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He's going to bring you into rest, which is what the people of God are supposed to walk in. Okay? So here we are. That's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here we are. By the way, that was the end of the message. That was so good. That was the last page. So here God's speaking to me, and I'm supposed to preach this message, and I don't have time because I've got to prophesy to all of you. Okay? Now, here's the deal. God had a seed. Right? What did he speak in Genesis 3, verse 15, Mike? Speaking to the woman and speaking to the serpent. What did he say?
I'm going to let you take that one, Steve.
Oh. He quoted it to me the other day when we were eating pizza.
Oh, right. No. Yeah, the other thing. I think you were eating pizza.
No, I was eating a fake calzone. An overpriced calzone. Anyway, here we are. It says that the seed of the woman is going to bruise Satan's head, crush Satan's head, really, and he's going to have his heel bruised. Talking about the seed of the woman. Okay? And in Genesis 12, God comes to Abraham, says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And your seed will be blessed. And your seed will bless the whole earth. Now, if you get into Galatians, he speaks and says, it's the promised seed. It's the seed of Isaac, not the seed of Ishmael from the slave woman. It's the seed of Abraham and Sarah. Isaac was that seed. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's
seed.
Psalms 110, the most quoted verse in the Bible. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. You think it might be important to God? Until I make your enemies your footstool. Now when Jesus came to Paul on the road to Damascus, when he was going around killing Christians and throwing them in jail, he said, Saul, Saul, his name was Saul at the time, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Now wait a second. Jesus said this. This was in red, man. This was in red. Jesus said this. Why are you persecuting me? What Jesus was saying there, let's look beyond that, is the fact when you persecute the church, that's me. What he said. The branch.
Right.
You're persecuting the branch, man. Don't be doing that. That's my body. Jesus left. When he left, listen, the cross is central to everything. Without it, you got nothing. So I'm not diminishing the cross and him dying. But he said, I got to leave. I know you want me to stay. I got to leave. Because if I leave and I go do what I'm supposed to do in the heavens, what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to come.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
you. And you're going to have power to be witnesses. And the Holy Spirit's going to come so that you're going to learn how to walk in holiness. So that there's going to be people in the last day. I'm going to send out my gathering angels. This is out of Matthew 13. And I'm going to remove the lawless and the wicked and those things that cause stumbling. And then the righteous shall shine brighter than the noonday sun. The reason why you're not shining like God desires you to shine, because he hasn't removed the tares out of your life yet. It's just so, I just don't have the time, man. You want to get into 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9? It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. I'm not saying you're not saved. Your spirit man was saved. God wants you to receive the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And he wants you to be a living sacrifice. He wants the word of God to come. Okay? He wants the word of God to come and to transform you. Metamorpho. Transform you from being a carnal man or woman to being one of the sons of God who walks by the Spirit.
Yes, thank you.
And being transformed. Okay? This is what he's after. He's going to have a people in this day that are going to walk this way. This is a new day. It just started. Started last year, he spoke to me. He said, this is a new day.
Thank you.
It's beginning. I said, cool.
Yeah.
He says, a lot of the verses you're reading, he said, they could not be completed until this day. I said, oh, okay. Some have, in the past have walked in certain things. They've tasted of the age to come. I'm telling you, you're going to be beginning to taste of the age to come. We're in that age. There's an age to come. You're in it now. How long it goes when Jesus comes back, I don't know. I know that he's coming back, though.
Yes.
And he can't come back any minute. Jesus isn't coming back unless the bride is without spot or wrinkle. She's without sin. Not coming back. If he came back now, everything would be in chaos. Because ain't nobody's going to rise with him. Because he's not done the work that he's going to do yet. He's going to do things that are going to blow your mind and mine. And it's going to be greater. It's going to be so much greater than the early church. It's incredible. There are going to be billions of people that are going to be saved.
Hallelujah.
Billions of people are going to be saved. Billions of people that are going to be saved. That's with a B. Okay? That's just a million or two. There's going to be billions of people. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end shall come. It has not happened to. The gospel of the kingdom, I'm preaching to you the gospel of the kingdom right now. I'm just learning how to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I still don't have it all down yet. But all I'm saying is this is what's happening. So let's just go into a few things of what God wants to do. Okay? I got them written down here. I don't know how long we're supposed to go, so I'm cutting this short because I've got 5 pages. Okay? Well, a couple of them are just the verses, you know. 3 of them are the verses. Okay? Holy Ghost. John? The Lord spoke to me when you came in. What I saw was a telescope. And you were looking through a telescope and it was so wide. And you were seeing so much. And the Lord said he needs to begin to focus on one thing. And it needs to be me. John, God wants you to focus. He's going to actually teach you to focus more than he's ever taught you before. Okay? And in the process of it, you're going to actually lead. This is going to be so cool. This is going to be so cool. You're going to lead people and say, come, let me... Have you seen him whom my soul loveth?
Thank you.
And you're going to say, hey, come look at my telescope here. And you're going to point to Jesus. God's going to do that in you, man. He's going to bring your focus, you know, like it says in Colossians 3, verse 2, I think. It says that set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth, where Christ dwells. Because you're going to be able to, your whole vision is going to be changed. You're going to be able to begin to focus on him like you've never done before. I'm telling you, this is going to happen in your life if you allow it to happen. Okay? It's going to cost you something. There's certain things that God's going to say, you know what, you need to get rid of that. Because that's a distraction that gets away from where I want to bring you. Because the destiny that God has for you is absolutely powerful. And don't tell me your life is over. It's just begun.
Praise God.
In God, there is no such thing. Okay? He can restore your youth. Totally restore. I'm just telling you, that's what he gave to me. I also heard Isaiah 26:3 for you. He's going to keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him. He's going to take confusion in your life. He's going to take different things, your question. He's just going to bring clarity to you like never before. Yeah, and it's going to be because the focus is going to change. The perspective is going to change. He's going to do that in your heart and your life. You're going to have to begin to look for that. Okay? And as you look for that, he's going to change it. Will it happen tomorrow? It'll begin tomorrow. And the more you begin to by the way, do you notice that when Anna begins to sing in the spirit, the waters of God are released? Have you noticed that? You notice that? That's not a gift. That's not a gift. She learned how to drink from the well. And therefore she can release it. Certain things you pay for. You need to understand, certain things you pay for. It takes time. It takes you going after him. And yes, will he give you the strength, especially when you ask him to. Say, Lord, would you help me? He'll help you. And you begin to just press into him. And things will just begin to just set aside. They'll be set aside because, you know, that's not important. I'm going to go after this. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is all of a sudden, because see, the word that I've got for her is going to be. I got the word before I saw that. She's going to lead people to the water. She's going to bring them, she's going to scoop up the water, put it in their mouth. And their eyes are going to be opened. And they're going to learn how to walk in a different way that they've never walked before. Okay? But John, I'm just telling you that you're going to have the telescope and you're going to learn how to point people. And the more you go after him for that, the more he changes your focus, the more all of a sudden people are going to be changed because they're going to come in contact with you. Because Jesus is going to begin to live his life through you. So you're going to have to learn how to set things down. I don't know what they need to be set down. You do. I know he's dealing with me in my heart. And he's having me set things down. There's not anyone here, by the way, that doesn't need to set things down. Okay? But all I know is that that's something that God's... this is destiny. It's written in your book. What I'm telling you is written in your book, John. Did you know you had a book with your name on it? You got a book with your name on it. I can prove it to you. Go to Psalms 139. There's other scriptures that speak of the volume of the book in Psalms 40 and in Hebrews 10. That book just wasn't to Jesus. The Bible says that he wrote a book before you were born. 2 Timothy 1:9. Before you were born, he purposed you and he gave you his grace before time began. John, you got a book.
I'll take it.
Okay? And in that book, this is what's written in the book. All right? I'm just reading your book, man. And that's what God wants you to press for. So just so you know. Hallelujah. This is so fun. Joshua, you're on the top of my page right here, man. You're on the top of my page. This is what I saw, man. This is so cool. Ready? What I saw was a man standing at attention with a spear. He had a golden shield. It was round, you know, like Captain America, but it was gold. And I saw that you had a zeal in your heart for God. I was reminded when I saw that, that there was, I'm reminded of Phineas. When he took the javelin, and he had a zeal for God. Okay, and the man that had taken a wife from the Midianites, I think. Where's it at? I think I wrote it down. Numbers 25. Okay, and he went up. Now, you need to understand, you're not supposed to kill people. But you're going to kill demons that have actually brought and brought things into people's lives. You're going to be a warrior. You're going to take that javelin. Okay? And there's going to be zeal in your heart. And you're going to learn to walk with that zeal in a way that's going to be led by the Holy Ghost. Okay? And you're not going to get ahead of them. Because if you do, it's going to be stupid. Okay? And I saw that. And I saw... I saw that also from Judges 7. That you're going to be one of those of the 300. And you're going to break that pot that's going to release light. And God's going to bring you to a place of just... I see you standing beside him because I heard the word intimacy. And you're going to know him. And you're going to press into him. And you're going to stand at his side and he's going to speak to you. And he's going to say, go speak to them. And when you do, that javelin is going to be the authority of God that comes from his throne. And things are going to be broken off of people's lives. And they're going to be able to step into what they have tried and could not do. That's what he has for you. That's written in your book, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, just one. I thought I'd let you know. It's written in your book. Don. The Lord said, tell him, as he draws near to me, I'm going to draw near to him.
Yes.
And I'm going to make myself strong to him. He's going to see things that he's never seen before. You ain't never seen nothing yet.
Thank you, God.
Exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. You ain't even touched it yet. God's desire for you. It's written in your book. I saw an envelope. It was a fancy envelope. It had all this fancy highlights and stuff on it. And it was red. And it had a darker red and it had your name on it. And it was an invitation that he was handing you. He says there's a space, there's a place by him. In the holy place that he has for you. And there's an invitation for that. And that's what he desires for you. God wants you to come to a place of intimacy with him. To where you literally lead others into intimacy with him. And you're going to take and you're going to break off. They're going to be broken off for you as well. There's going to be things that have stopped you from stepping into that place. Those tears are going to be removed in your life. And you're going to be able to love God where you haven't before. In a greater dimension than you ever before got. And it's going to blow your mind. It's going to be so cool. going to be so cool. Okay, that's what he has for you, man. I saw it. It's written in your book. There's so much more that I can tell you, but the book can't be opened until you begin to pursue that invitation. Okay? Just thought I'd let you know. That's what it's all about. Let's see what else is on my list here. Anna, you're next. Look here. I saw you drinking. You know, I saw you also, you know, lapping the water because you always were, you're always ready to go out of the 300. The 300 that were chosen. Okay? You were lapping the water and you taught others how to drink because they were drinking the wrong way. Yes. And that you're going to be one who teaches, and you're going to, I saw Isaiah 12, of course, which you're going to draw waters from the wells of salvation. Yes. And you're going to be able to teach people how to come to the well. And then you're going to be able to let them drink, and they're going to begin to have that well from John 4 that Jesus speaks to the woman at the well. And he says, when you drink from the water that I shall give you, it'll spring up into everlasting life. And that's something that Jesus is, he's already put it in you. I see it. Pretty obvious. You don't even have to be a prophet. Okay. And but that's what he's going to do. He's going to do that, and you're going to be one who, the river, there's a river of life, and it's actually a river of love, and God is going to step you into a place of love and life. And he's going to open up, and it's going to be the flavor of this, the house that he's building here. Okay? The flavor is going to be one of love and of revelation, of water, of knowing him and having their eyes opened. And that flavor is going to come, and it's going to come because of that which is in your heart that God placed in your heart and that you've actually developed. You developed that. And he's given you an invitation, just like he's given to Don. He's given you an invitation. You've accepted that invitation, and now it's like you don't have to pump. It's like there's an automatic suction because there's always a pull. There's always a pull, and he wants to break open those places that have been filled up by the Philistines. There's tears in you that he's going to remove. There's things in you that he's going to remove in order to break that open so that the water gushes forth like never before. This is something he's going to do in you. He's going to do it for this house. He's going to do it for your family.
Thank you, God.
He's going to bring salvation to your family. He's going to bring deliverance to your family. You're going to see things happen because of the well. And you're going to learn how to pray from a place of You're gonna pray from a place of that same faith that Armand, God's gonna give to Armand here. Okay? You're gonna come from a place of seeing the end from the beginning. And there's gonna be a love in your heart, and there's gonna be faith in your heart, a faith that belongs to Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And I live, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of God, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. In that verse, it's the faith of God. I saw that translation, I said, yes, begin to pray for that. And that's something that he's going to do in your heart, in your life. And I saw, Deuteronomy 15, I saw Deuteronomy 15, and what it says in Deuteronomy 15, he says, there's one who, when he's released from being a slave, he says, Lord, I don't want to leave. I want to come to your door, and I want to come, and I want you to take your all, and I want you to put it in my ear. And what I see is you're going to be the one that are going to lead people to the door, and you're going to hold the all, and God's going to take it and pierce the ear. I'm going to put his ring in it. But you are going to be, you're going to be part of that picture. You're going to be part of the team that he uses to bring people who are going to be bond slaves to Jesus. Those who are going to be kings in the earth. I told you, I don't know how many years ago now it's been, that God called you to be a king. I know it's true. And I know that that's part of your book, and you're going to lead many into kingship. It's going to be so cool. Who's next? Oh, Melissa. Melissa. I already spoke a number of things over to you already about it. I got 1 Corinthians 12:8, the gift of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Okay? I also saw counsel and might. For some reason, the seven spirits of God, a lot of times they work in pairs. It's wisdom and understanding. I'll give you an example. I'm with Mike. We're working on this job. We get there. The guy that is, he knows better. He did some stuff, and it was like, it was so lousy we had to redo it. And I started complaining. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I got to shut my mouth. I know better. Because the Bible says the sons of God don't complain. Mm-hmm. Philippians 2. Okay. And I said, oh God. I said, I need to shut my mouth. And then I said one other thing. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said, don't go there. That was wisdom. And then I understood, because if you do, you're going to mess up the timing that I've got for you, and Satan will be able to attack you and slow down things that I want to do in your life. I didn't hear it. I understood. And I shared that with Bruce. He said, Steve, he said, that was wisdom and understanding. Wisdom was don't go there. Understanding was, if you do, it's going to mess up the timing. I said, oh. And I'm beginning to understand that that wisdom and understanding go together. You see? Okay? And that counsel and might go together. Because God's going to bring counsel, and then there's going to be might, there's going to be power in order to do that which needs to be done. And then you get into the knowledge of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of
wisdom.
Knowledge and
wisdom.
Yeah. It's rather interesting. In the Spirit of God, it says, will rest upon him. Okay? That's something that we're talking about resting here. That isn't just the Spirit of God in you being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is something completely different. Okay? I know that you've never heard this before. All right? John 8, verse 29. It says, he who sent me is with me, and he never leaves me alone.
Thank you, God.
Because I always do those things that please him. This is Jesus Christ said this. He doesn't leave me alone. What he was saying was, he would leave me alone if I didn't. Hello. Because the Spirit of God was resting upon him. And he did everything he did to please the Father. And because he always did what pleased the Father. He always walked with the Father's will in mind, never his own. That's why he was a bond slave. That's why he is the King of Kings. Because he's king of all the bond slaves. And not everybody in the body of Christ is going to become a bond slave. There's only special few. Oh, Jesus is, what's that term I get all the time? I just, Jesus isn't a respecter of persons. Your dog, all right, he's not. He'll let anybody be a bond slave. Jesus is not a respecter of persons. You think that, well, God's going to give you everything he gives everybody else. That is not so. It's all available to you, but that is not so. It's something that you go after and something that you go after and he brings you into. Okay? That's just the way it is. It's there available to you, but if you don't go after it, you're not going to have it. So he made us kings and priests, it says in Revelation 1, verse 5, unto our God. So anyway, that's what he's going to do in you. I spoke it earlier to you, and I just want you to know, this is a gift. The seed's already there. I learned this from Mike. The seed's already there. He placed it in you when you were born again. 2 Timothy 1:9, it's already there. He purposed you, and he gave you his grace, his ability to do it. It was there. Before you were ever born, before you were ever in your mother's womb. It's already there. That's called the kingdom of God is within you. It's all there. What I'm telling you is not something new. It's always been there. It's not going to be awakened. Wait a minute. Man!
Yeah. Let it be.
Man. Wow. This was wild.
Glory.
Thank you,
man. Did you ever watch that movie, The Iron Man?
Oh, boy.
That's the coolest part of that movie. Besides the flying, which I think is cool. Iron Man, he's got this thing, and he's beginning to build his new suit. And he's got these computers that's sitting there. Okay? And he has these parts, and he says, no, I don't want that. He throws it aside, and he turns around and breaks. You know what I'm talking about? And it's sitting in front of him like a hologram. You know? And he's seeing all, he says, no, and he trashes this, and he brings this over here, and he begins to put it all together. Got it? Okay. That's you. I heard Sons of Issachar. That's in 1 Chronicles 12:32. They understand the times and the seasons, and they know what Israel should do. I also saw several things in Hebrews, but I think I wrote it down wrong, but I'm sorry. Let me just pray. I know that Isaiah 11 is something you're going to begin to walk in, because you're going to begin to walk and flow in the things that I talked to Melissa about. You're going to be able to see things. God is going to give you a picture. You're going to be able to look at His Word. In Psalms 119, I think it's Now 126 is this time for you to act, God. Psalms 119, I'll have to get it for you. But anyway, it says this. It says that in the entirety of your word is truth. It's not one verse. It's in the entirety of your word. And you're going to have to learn His Word. This is going to be something that you're just going to have to. You want it? It's there available to you. Okay? And He's going to begin to feed you. He's going to give you part of that chocolate bar He gives me. Okay? And you can begin to understand the Word and how it connects together. You're going to see things. You already have a gift in you. I know you do. There's a gift in you for seeing things. And you can see different things. Okay? And that gift, Satan wants to destroy that gift in you. Okay? He wants you to look at the wrong things. Okay? And so therefore, you're going to have to learn what's right. You have to learn, and you're going to have to bounce it off of people, too. I love Pastor Mike, because sometimes I'll talk to him, he says, no, Steve, you can't think that way. Here's why. Sometimes we fight about it. Okay? And he says, you can't think that way, here's why. And sometimes he says, well, you can't. I said, no, I don't mean it that way. I mean it this way.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, well, if you're going to go from that viewpoint, you can't. Like, if I sit there and tell you that God, that the judgment of God is a wonderful thing, what do you automatically think when the judgment?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So therefore, I've got to tell you that judgment is under victory. Because that's what the Bible says. Jesus said it. It's in red. Judgment is under victory. He's not going to break the broken reed. He's not going to put out the smoking flax. But judgment is going to be under victory, it says. Judgment is under victory. And besides the fact, if he judges, if you see in Malachi chapter 3, and he's in those that he goes in one part there, he says, I'm going to judge those that have sorcery and different things from you. In other words, he takes in the judgment is a good thing.
Yes.
Judgment is a good thing. But most of us think judgment is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And judgment is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, even when it hurts. Because God loves us so much that His purpose is to bring us to holiness, and so that we can live with Him forever. You see what I mean? So there's just a difference between the two. And that's what He's going to do. He's going to do that in you. This is something that He's going to remove some things out of you. Okay? that are going to that have gotten in the way, because he wants to place his wisdom in you and his understanding in you, where you understand, where you can speak and you can tell people, look, you don't need to walk this way, you need to do this, because this is where the Lord is going. You're going to know that, okay? Because he's going to do that in you, and you're just going to begin to walk that way. It's going to be released to you. It's already there. Okay? It's already there.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know that's what he's going to do. I know, I've never done this before. This is fun, isn't it? Sophie, you want to go wait on her? Armand! Ready? Look here. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, it says, Paul writes and he says, put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. It's different from Ephesians 6. And I saw you standing like I saw Joshua standing. But the breastplate was on you. It was multicolored. It was really cool. It was like white, and it was a almost like a pearl color. And it had all these colors that were swirling in it. And that was the breastplate of righteousness and love. It was really cool looking. I want one of those. Okay? And I'm seeing this. And I understand something. I understand that the seven spirits of God are related to the colors of the rainbow, by the way. And so I'm interested to know, it's coming up a lot here, Isaiah 11:2. Coming up a lot here. And I'm interested to know what all those colors mean. And I'm beginning to find out what they mean. And I'm seeing that God is going to have, here's a good word for you, a plethora, okay, of things that he's going to use you in. That he's going to cause that to happen in your life. And you know, the Bible says, and it's clear, the Bible says this, and it's true. If you're faithful in little, I'll give you much. Okay? And you've been faithful in little, and he's going to begin to increase. Because it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Okay? See, God's going to take you, and what you're going to see in your life is all of a sudden you're going to be in one place, and then it's going to be, it's like you skip two grades. And you say, wow, I never saw that before. And he's going to bring you to revelation and understanding you never saw before. He's going to open your eyes to see things you've never seen before. He's going to reveal things to you. It's going to be so cool. Okay? But I saw you. I saw you standing and having that javelin or that spear too. Okay? And I saw this because I spoke this over Anna. But it's also something that's true. This is something that the Lord just gave to me. Okay? Let's put it a different way. He revealed to me that I had it. Okay? And it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ to see the end from the beginning. When you see someone's life and you see a mess that they're in, it's so easy just to look at the mess and complain about the mess and see the mess and focus on the mess. John, this is for you. Okay? You're looking at the wrong picture. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Because the end is, God's going to take that, and he's going to take that mess, and he's going to, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, right? He's going to change that, because that's who he is. And he knows what his purpose is, and what he's spoken, and what his word has already gone forth. It's already been implanted in them. And you're going to be able to see the end, and begin to put love in the midst of it, to bring them up and out. Okay? And he's going to do that, and there's going to be a gift in you to where you're going to be able to speak into people's life, and there's going to be an authority that's going to be upon you for that purpose. Mm-hmm. You're going to break things off of people, okay, mm-hmm. for the purpose of freeing them, because they have not been able to step where they need to step because Satan has bound them every step of the way. Mm-hmm. Okay? So some of that is also, I saw it at the Goshen up there. I saw it just a few weeks ago. I got up and shared it. I began to see that when there's a tone, and I heard the word tone, when there was a tone, Zophie, You're coming back, right?
Yes, I'm coming back.
Good, because I need to talk to you, girl. Okay? It's a good thing. What I heard was the fact that there's a tone, that God is going to release a tone. He's going to do it in this house too, because he's going to do it in his church. And it's going to bring the angels of God in such a dimension that they are going to not only bring answers from heaven, okay, but they're actually going to stop the enemy from hindering the answer. Because there's going to be warrior angels there too. And it's going to be a tone in the music. It's going to be in the worship. God's going to do things. Okay? I know he's going to do it in this church. Again, this is a new day. This is something he's done before, I'm sure. But I know he's going to begin to do this. Okay? And he's going to do that. There's going to be things in you that are going to break off of people because of the authority that he's going to give you. It's tied to Revelation 3, I think it's verse 21, where Jesus said, if you're zealous and you repent, if you read the first part of it, it's talking to the Laodicean church. I believe we're in that age, especially in America. Okay, we believe we're rich and we have need of nothing. We're blind, we're naked, we're poor, we're destitute. Okay, and then he says, if you repent, if you're zealous and repent, and you overcome. That's why I like the fact that I don't want to get, if I stand, I don't want to, I'm cautious lest I fall. Because I know that it's only in brokenness that God's going to use me in any way. I know it's tall. Okay? And all I know is that when that happens, he said, if you overcome, I'll grant it, you sit with me on my throne. This isn't in the sweet by and by. Okay? Get that out of your head. This is now. Sit at my right hand, Jesus, until I make your enemies your footstool. Who are the feet of Jesus? The church. The enemies are going to be under his feet. His church. And you have a part to play in that. I know this is big. I know it's huge. That's all right. He's big enough. He can do it. Okay, just thought I'd tell you, that's what he's going to do. I saw Galatians 2:20 for you also, the faith of the Lord Jesus as I spoke to Anna. I saw that for you, okay? I'm going to live, I'm crucified with Christ, and the faith, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You're going to be able to see with his eyes. And when you see with his eyes, it's going to come to you, they're going to be different visions that you're going to have. Do you see now?
Yeah.
Do you? Okay. So you're going to be able to see things. And now you need to understand something. This is going to come to you. It'll come. It may come in a later fashion, but it's going to come. You're not only here, but you'll see. If you see or you hear, it doesn't matter. It's still a word from God. That make sense? Give you an example. I'm praying for a fella. And it's only by what I hear. I don't pray, oh God, heal him. I say, God, what are you saying? He says, pray for blessing and for better. He said, pray for better. He was dying. He was supposed to die. He's supposed to be dead already. His liver was shutting down. Very little of it was left. It had totally, I don't know what they call it. It just was black and hard and not working. Okay, he was blowing up and they had to take 12 quarts of fluid out of him because it was leaking out and it was horrible. I mean, it was in pain. It was horrible. And I'm sitting here reading in the Word of God, going to the hospital and reading the scriptures and reading to him and praying. And I'm saying, God, what's your word? He says, better. So I began to pray for better. And he'd get better. Then he'd get worse. Then he'd get better. Then he'd get worse. Well, not as bad. Then he'd get better. Then he'd have... But not as bad. We kept praying for better because that's what I heard. Because faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by the word of God, which is rhema. That's the rhema God gave me. Okay? And then one day, I'm sitting praying for him. I come again to the hospital, and he's back in the hospital. And they got to do some, thank God for the doctors, because otherwise he'd be dead. Okay? And I get there and I get up to pray for him. And the Lord says, every time you pray for him now, you pray for a new liver. So I began to pray. I prayed for a new liver. I commanded that liver to be changed, to be brand new. Every time I pray for him, I lift him up. I pray for him because he's all the way down in southern Illinois, way south. And I pray for him. And then one day I'm talking to him on the phone and he calls me. And I tell him, I said, Jeremy, let me pray for you before we talk. Let me pray for you. And I begin to pray. And I begin to pray for that liver. And all of a sudden I see this black liver. And I see all these little cells going off of it. And I see flying in these cells. And they were on the outside, it was a ring. It looked like a Cheerio. Okay? And it was a pinkish purple with these little purple dots that were swirling around in this thing. And the center was purple. And these little cells were going into his liver and these black ones were coming out. And I see this as I'm praying. And so I speak what I see. And then after, I don't know, a month or so, he has to come back up to the doctor. All of a sudden, he's got hair. Your liver affects what hair you're and he was like a monkey, okay? He had hair growing on his back, man. It was all gone. Because he was dying and the liver wasn't working and all his hair quit growing. And he'd lost a lot of his hair on his head. He couldn't grow anything on his beard. He couldn't grow hair. Okay? And all of a sudden, his hair's filling in. He's getting hair on his back. He's opening, look. And he opens his shirt. And he's telling me all this stuff. And he says, and then I talked to his mom. He had to go to the bathroom and it was a mess. And because he's a mess. We're all a mess. And she began to tell me, and I told her the vision that I'd had. She said, Steve, she said, you know the liver's purple, don't you? I said, no. She said, yeah. She said, the livers are purple. And she said, what you saw. And so now he calls me up the other day. He says, Steve, he said, the doctors are amazed. He said, my liver is regenerating.
Thank you.
He said, it's better. He said, He said, you don't remember me? I said, yeah, because I hadn't seen him in probably 6 weeks. He said, I got most of my strength and my muscle back. He said, instead of me looking like he was weak, like he was, you know, dying, because he was dying. Mm-hmm. Okay, he said, I'm getting my muscle back. I'm getting my strength back. He said, God is regenerating my life. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Father.
So, all I did was obey what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And I walked by the scripture that said, faith comes by hearing. And I want to hear what he says. I want to hear what he says. I know everybody thinks that would you pray for me? That could be an invitation for God to move because they asked for it. I agree. Mm-hmm. And you can pray. But I've also been in middle prayer meetings where the woman raises their hand. She says, my mother's dying and I want you to pray that my mother lives. And God speaks to me and he says, I'm taking her home. Mm-hmm. She's going to die. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the woman. And the pastor sitting on the stage is taking all the prayer requests. He happens, he says, Steve, why don't you pray for this one? So what do? You don't know a woman. If I had a relationship with her, I'd go tell her. I'd say, look, your mama's going to die. Set things in order. She's dying. Okay? But in this case, I said, oh God, would your will be done? And that's so such a Baptist prayer. Lord, forgive me. I love the Baptist. Okay? But if I don't know, I have a hard time praying. Because I'm learning the gospel of the kingdom. You know, Peter said to the man that was sitting and had been there for I don't know how many years, begging at Solomon's temple on the porch. Jesus had been how many times in that temple? That man was there every time. Jesus never healed him. And Peter comes up with James or John, I can't remember which one. And he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.
Hallelujah.
Wait a second. Jesus had seen him so many times. What about the guy at the pool of Bethesda? Mm-hmm. How many hundreds of people or thousands could have been there? One man. That was God's time. Just thought I'd throw that in. Where else are we going? Mike, we'll take you last.
Okay. Yeah. Let's roll through it. Definitely. Let's get this.
That's right.
Shot the Dallas yet?
Yes. Yes, about to.
Dallas? You came in late. Well, actually, wasn't late. I think because we were here with the worship practice. So, Dallas, the Lord spoke to me and said that you're a curious man. He said you had some questions, and you think things. You're a thinker. And he said, I have a word for him. I said, okay. And he said, it's from Psalms 37. And verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forget wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. And then he spoke another verse to me from out of Psalms 5. And verse 11 says, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him as with a shield. And I heard that God's going to bring you to a place of learning how to trust him. No, it won't be fun. But you're going to learn how to trust him. And you're going to learn how to trust in the favor of God that he puts around you. It wouldn't surprise me that you'd become rich. Okay? Remember that in that wealth, it's for his kingdom. Okay? And I just want you to know that the Lord is going to bless you. But he's going to cause you to learn how to trust him and walk with him in a way that you've not yet. I'm still learning how to trust him. Okay? And he's just going to do that for you. And he's going to set you above even in your family. He's going to actually honor you and your family. There's going to be honor that's going to come to you. They're going to learn how to respect and honor you because your word is going to be good because they recognize that you're hearing from God. That's something that God's going to do in your heart and in your life. Okay? Just so you know, I just thought I'd tell you that you weren't forgotten. You got here late too.
I
and I don't mean late. Like I said, I don't know what late is. All I know is you got here.
Late.
And I walked in and you were here. You're going to be crowned. In fact, you are already. There's I see crowns on you, more than one. And there's a crown of wisdom. There's going to be an authority and a weight that's going to come. It's already there. I think it's going to increase, though. I believe it will, because you're going to learn how to hear from him in a greater dimension than you ever have. Because he's going to walk you through some things that are going to bring you into a place of blessing. He's going to walk into a place of, the Lord brought me to a large place. It's not going to be tight. You're going to know that wherever you go, he's with you. There's going to be a realization in your heart that wherever you are, he's there. Because wherever he is, you're there. And it's like you're going to know. I heard a song just recently. A man introduced me to the singers, and it said... there's a line in there that says, you are closer to me than my skin.
Yes.
And so you're going to come to a place of closeness with him and a place of wisdom and understanding to where you're going to be able to give it to people. People are going to be lost. They don't know Jesus. There's also going to be people that are born again, but yet they're still lost and they're in confusion. And you're going to be able to speak that wisdom and that understanding and give it forth to people. And there's going to be a mercy, because there's a crown of mercy that you're going to have mercy and grace. And you're going to walk in that mercy and grace, and you're going to soothe those things that are in people's hearts and lives and going to bring them out of darkness into light. That you're going to walk them into a new path. I see it. And Lord, I just pray, God, that the staff that you give Barbara, God, Lord, I see it's bejeweled because of all the light that's in it and everything that comes from your throne, because she's been there. And I pray that you'd open up a new valley and a new vision, a new a place of closeness with you, God, that she begins to hear your voice and begins to hear the wisdom that you speak into people's lives. And God, I pray that you'd open that up to her and you cause your light to shine in the midst, because, Lord, she'll lead many into righteousness, God. And I pray, oh God, that in the purposes that you have for her life, God, it's not finished, it's just begun. And you're going to release things that are going to be awesome, because you're going to release yourself through her. And God, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. And Mike, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And I saw that God is going to actually pick you up and he's going to set you in his lap. And there's going to be things that are going to be wiped away from the years. There's just going to be things that are going to be wiped away. There's going to be hurts, there's going to be wounds. And he's just going to take you and he's going to set you and he's going to take all that hair that you got. And he's going to put his hand on that hair. And he's just going to brush it. He's going to wipe down and he's going to run it under your back. And he's going to wipe away the stress. He's going to wipe away the pain. He's going to wipe those things away. He's going to bring just a peace that you have never known. You're going to be able to not only see his eyes, but you're going to be able to look through his eyes, and his eyes are going to look through yours. You're going to see in a dimension that you've never seen before. That says a lot. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you, by your Spirit, would establish this in my God.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
I see different scripture verses speaking of the throne of the Lord, brother. And I give them to you later, but all I know is that that's the word that God gives me, that he's sitting on his throne, on his lap, and he's just going to be able to love you in a dimension that you've never known before. And he's going to bring his healing and his restoration to you.
Thank you.
And he's going to break things off of your life. He's going to remove those tears too. He's going to do that for his name's sake, because he has a purpose, and the destiny that he has for you is much greater than only a few. Zophie, you're last, girl. This is what I saw for you. Saw you first, by the way. Oh, you know, Jesus said the first to be the last, and the last first.
There you go.
I saw you, and I saw you taking a plug and plugging it in. And taking it and plugging it in. And you actually plug it in into people. But first of all, you plugged it into you. And that you were going to see something. And I wrote this down out of Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to perfect what is lacking in your faith. It's not in Romans 4:11. I'm sorry, it's in 1 Thessalonians 3:10. And I saw that God was going to take, and you're going to be a giver of faith. You're going to lift people up.
Yes, God.
Which means there's a prophetic gift there.
okay? There's some encouragement, because you're going to be tied and plugged into Him, and you're going to take that which He has. Do you know the Bible says in Psalms 139 that the thoughts that God has toward us, they're all good thoughts, and they're more numerous than the sands of the sea. And you're going to learn how to hear thoughts for people. And you're going to be able to speak blessing to people. And you're going to give them faith and encouragement and hope and life and also fire. Because God's going to use you when you get older. He's going to use you in the fire of God. You're going to see things that are going to happen. And it's an intimacy with God. Fire is speaking of intimacy. You can stand with God. And that's where God got you. He's going to bring you there. And you're going to be a gift to the body of Christ. It's going to be so good to know you. So anyway, you were the last, but you were the first. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we just speak, Lord.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what you did.
Yes.
Thank you for what you're saying. And I thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That you said that you'd break off the shame and the poverty in this house. And in Jesus' name, I decree the poverty and the shame to be broken in Jesus' name. And I declare that the poverty and the shame be broken off this house. And they begin to see with your eyes, God, and see. And they begin to live with those who are wise win the lost. And God, I pray for release of the gifts, because it's only for one purpose, and that's to raise up harvesters, Lord God, for your kingdom, in order to bring the end, and to raise up this people to be a seed of God that comes forth and blesses this area, blesses this earth, in Jesus' name. And I speak a breaking of that in Jesus' name, and a light to come, and shining out of this house as never shined before, God. And we thank you for the faithfulness of this people. We thank you for the faithfulness of this people, God. And we speak because of that. We speak increase and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.